What a wonderful time we had this morning around the Lord Jesus Christ. We were reminded that He is alive. He lives in the power of an endless life. We're reminded too that He died, but no man took His life from Him. He had the power to lay it down, and He had the power to take it again. In order for Him to die, the Bible says He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're going to go to the Old Testament this morning. We're going to go to the book of Exodus. We're going to look at redemption again. From Exodus 2 and Exodus 3. We're going to look at God's pity on His people. And we're going to look at God's purpose. And He called Moses and told him what His plan was. We're going to look at God's provision for His people. In redemption, God not only delivers from, but He brings us into a blessing. A blessing. Let's just begin at chapter 2 and verse 23 for the sake of time. It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God knew their plight. We're going to try and cover that this first session. Then in chapter 3 and verse 7, just in case we touch on it before we leave. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land, onto a large and good land, onto a land flowing with milk and honey, onto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I've also seen the oppression where the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The people were having a hard time in Egypt. Time had come and a king had arisen who did not know Joseph. And he had a problem because he thought the people were growing so fast that they might overthrow him. And so he made a decree that all the boys that were born to the Hebrew women should be killed. It was at this time that Moses was born. And we know the miracle that God performed Not only was Moses born, but his mother saw he was a goodly child and she kept him 3 months. When she could keep him no longer, she put him in a little basket and put him in the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him, heard him cry, saw him, loved him, took him to be her child. And the very thing that Pharaoh didn't want, he wanted him dead. Now he is paying to raise him. He is paying his mother to raise him. That's our God. Now they're in great straits, beloved, and you know, this is the second part of Moses' life. The first 40 years he spent in Egypt. Now, the second 40 years in the west side of the desert. Before he left Egypt, he tried to help his people prematurely, I would say. And after killing an Egyptian who was hurting a Hebrew, and now the next day he was trying to help another Hebrew who was taking advantage of another, of one of his brothers, he tried to separate them and make peace. And he said to them, "Who make you a judge and a ruler over us? You intend to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday." And Moses figured, this thing is known, and he fled to the land of Midian. But his time had come. The time which he prematurely wanted to go and to take, to deliver his people, he was like 40 years early. He wasn't wrong, but he was just early. It wasn't God's time. But now God is saying to him, now is the time. Come and I will send you unto Pharaoh that thou mayest deliver my people. But before that scene there at the burning bush, there are certain things that God wants us to know. Especially when we are going through trials and temptations. Especially when it seems that no one cares and no one is listening to us and no one really understands what we are going through. God says, I've been hearing you. I've been listening. In verse 24 of chapter 2, it says, God heard their groaning. It must have been terrible for them. Not only were they given tasks, but they were given impossible tasks to accomplish. And they were suffering immensely under the hand of the oppressor. I believe while they were carrying out their task, they were crying unto God, the God of their father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Where are you? We are in distress. We see God's pity. He heard their groaning. And just in case, when you are having problems, you think no one is listening. You think God is not paying attention, beloved, because his timing is not the same as yours. I want you to understand that God hears, always hears, and he always answers. There's nothing that you will go through that God is not acquainted with. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 18, verse 6, he says, in my distress, and they were in great distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. The Lord heard me. Maybe he didn't deliver me at the same time, but he heard me. He heard my cry. For the children of Israel, in their distress, the Lord heard them. And now he's ready. He is ready to do something about their plight. There again, David, the psalmist, in Psalm 34 and verse 6, speaking of his own experience and deliverance, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The Lord is listening, and the Lord will deliver. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. Exodus 2 and verse 24 says, God heard. And when you call upon him, he hears. He hears and he answers. He understands what you are going through. Then in verse 24 again, it says, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. This is not where God wanted them to be. This was not the land that God had promised. God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob a land. But they were in Egypt. Different circumstances. And they were having a hard time, and God says, now is the time I remember what I said to Abraham. What did he say to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob? I'm going to give them a land, and through their seed, I'm going to prosper this world. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You will not be destroyed in Egypt. He remembered. Again in Psalm 89, speaking of God remembering, this is exactly what it says here. This is a restatement, if you will, of the Davidic covenant, Psalm 89. Verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Psalm 89, verse 3. God remembered that covenant, the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he renewed his covenant with David. It's a different covenant, but it's a promise. It is a binding and a solemn agreement, and God will keep his word. The covenant of Abraham is in Psalm 105. It says this. It says, "For he remembered." He remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the land of the nations, and they inherited the labor of the peoples, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. God remembered. And he will always remember. I remember as a child singing in Sunday school. Maybe some of you remember. I know it's old, but still, it's still around. It says, God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials distress us and burdens oppress us, he never will leave us alone. Am I the only person ever sang in Sunday school? Anybody else ever did that? Is that ancient, huh? Okay. It might be ancient, but it's really up to date. It's still true today. what did you sing in Sunday school? God is still on the throne. He remembered. He never will leave us alone. He remembered. And he'll remember you. And he remembers all the time. He is the one who never forgets his promises. His promises, they are yea and they are amen. Another thing it says here that God looked upon the children of Israel. He looked. I was going to quote you another one from childhood, but I think I better quit now because you don't seem to. But it goes something like this: you cannot hide from God; his eyes are fixed on you. I'm not going to ask. But God looked. He looked upon the children of Israel. He understood what was going on. He was looking all the time. Nothing escapes him. That look, when God looked, you recognize that he's going to do something about it. You remember Peter, the Lord said, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And Peter said, "No, I never do that." Peter denied first, once, and then twice, the third time. And Jesus looked at him. Their eyes met. Jesus saw him. He saw the Lord looking at him. And it says, Peter wept bitterly. He understood that God saw the inner recesses of his heart. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what would happen. He knew what was in man. He needed not that any should tell him what was in man. He understood it all. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, it says, when he looked to the Lord Jesus, he looked with the eye of compassion. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He moved with compassion towards them. We looked at down and out people as though they're nobody, not the Lord. He had compassion on them. And finally, the time is gone almost. He says, God knew. Not only looked, but God knew. That's his heart. He knew all men, the Bible says, John chapter 2. He knew what was in man. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. When he questioned Peter, because Peter's confidence was so shaken because of his three denials of him. And he questioned Peter in John chapter 21. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Peter was using a weaker word than the Lord Jesus was using, but he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, but not in the same way. And the second time he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. And then the third time the Lord Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? You know what Peter's response is? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Tend my lamb. You know all things. The Lord knew their plight. He knew exactly what they were going through. And he's about to do something about it, and that's what we're going to talk about when we get together in the second session. He said to Moses, I am come down to deliver. That's redemption, beloved. That's what we're going to talk about. That's redemption. What is redemption? Redemption is to deliver by paying a price. Redemption is to buy back. You're going to see God's purpose in coming, appearing to Moses at the burning bush, chapter 3. And we're going to see God's provision for his people. You see that God will not only bring them out of that land, but God is going to bring them into a good land. The land that's flowing with milk and honey. But I'm not going to keep you any longer. We're going to talk about that in the second session. And notice the time is gone. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for loving us, and we thank thee for manifesting thy love, the gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that thou knowest all things, thou understandest all things, thou hearest all things. Nothing escapes thee. Thou art acquainted with all our situations. Thou knowest our down sittings and our uprisings. Thou knowest our thoughts afar off. We thank thee that we can call on thee at all times, in all situations. And God is always there. God is always there. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. We give thee thanks and ask thy blessing and guidance and direction to prepare our hearts for the rest of thy word as we meditate on thy precious word this morning. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.